This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to 92.7 RFM, your community access station here in the Wairarapa. A little old Masterton. Look at me here at 6pm. Gosh, I'm usually getting ready for bed at this time, guys. But this is a special show that I'm bringing to you this evening, that something that is really close to my heart and something that I am very much getting myself involved in at the moment is a thing called Rongoā. And I'm loving this. I'm absolutely loving this. But the thing is that I've only just started learning about this. And the more that I learn, the more I want to learn. It's something completely amazing to me and a new holistic approach, in a sense, in a very big sense, to how I'm choosing my journey of healing at the moment. And it is a path and a journey and a road that I think will continue for a long, long time. I never thought that I would get healed or do my healing journey in a place where my ancestors never came from, in a culture that is healing me, that is not my culture, but is such a beautiful culture and is part of my world and where I live. So I've asked this beautiful human, Rhiann Tafaru, to come in and talk to us about it. Welcome.
Kia ora. Thank you for bringing me in for this opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. So the reason why I've brought you in is because you run, you own, you have two-hand traditional Māori healing in Featherston.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's how I've been introduced to this magic. So I want to know about you, and this is my chance to get to know about you, and this is so fantastic. Rhiann, where were you born?
Kia ora, Camille. I was born in Lower Hutt, so just over the hill. It's not something, I am a believer of me that wherever I lay my hat, Lower Hutt is definitely not a place that I deeply connect to. But was born there, lived in probably a few different places in Lower Hutt, Stokes Valley, and in Wainui and Mata, where Dad really loved being because of the nature spaces there. And then we went off to Picton. So we went off to Picton when I was eight, and that was a place that I definitely consider my tūranga waiwai.
Yeah, beautiful
really
place.
Really deeply connected to Picton and the sounds, and loved being there. But then when I moved, I came back up here when I was going to college, so around 12 or 13, I moved back up. My mum still owns a house in Manor Park, and so, yeah, I would just commute to Wellington. So, again, still not so much Lower Hutt.
Yeah.
But did spend some time in Upper Hutt, and I don't claim that either.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Kilda.
Yeah.
But, moved to Feathy in 2006.
Let's stop there for a moment. Let's step back a little bit, Because I think that's, I love that you've moved to Featherston. When you were at school and stuff like that as you were growing up, what was school like for you, and how did you see the world while you were growing up at that time?
I think because we moved a lot, Dad was, always quite unsettled. So we would move around quite a bit, so hence why we'd moved to all of those places before, even college really. But because of that, I don't know if I necessarily settled into a space of school. So I don't know how many different schools I went to, but a few. And I wouldn't say school was a place for me. Don't think the system was a place for me in terms of the education system. I found it quite challenging, probably because of my sense of belonging, if I was to say anything. Like my sense of belonging within that space, because I did have to move regularly.
System
and me just not fitting into that those particular boxes that they needed us to fit into. Felt it was my place anyway.
So as you maneuvered through that, because I can completely understand that as well, and that moved into you becoming an adult, what did that look like for you, and what were you doing as you moved into into your 20s and that, what was life like for you then?
I think that I was always given opportunity to just grow. Like, I think as in, you know, there was no big expectation of me, I guess, to go to university or anything. So I left school when I was 16, and then went to do a course. So I went and did a course in retail therapy, which then I went and went and worked at Whitcalls, which I really loved. And I think that was a really great place for me to grow and become more confident in myself.
Was that in Wellington? School.
That was in Lower Hutt.
Yeah, Lower Hutt.
Yeah.
You're more confident with your...
I just think with... being more personable with people. Yeah, because I definitely am not the person now who I was then, because I was very much a shy person growing up. So I was quite challenged by, I guess, meeting new people and talking to new people. So Whitcalls just opened up an opportunity for me to meet new people. We had a really great team there.
Yeah.
And then I kind of went up the ranks, became a head buyer in Whitcalls.
That was
18. And then when I was 18, I moved off to Australia. So
Soon
as given the opportunity, I moved over to Brisbane.
What did you do?
just found my way, because it can be challenging to get a job in Brisbane, I presume, even if you had any qualifications, but I didn't have any qualifications. So eventually I got just a job working in a hotel as a cleaner, but that started me off. And then I went into hospitality. So a lot of my life before massage was in hospitality. But I think, again, I think it's a great place for even young people to be. I think it teaches you a lot about life.
Oh, yeah.
It teaches you a lot about work ethic.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed that. So I was in bars to start and then went into kitchens.
Yeah.
So that is what I originally thought I wanted to be, was a chef.
Ah, yeah, I was going to lead to that,
But, the lifestyle didn't really work for me, and I don't think I was necessarily passionate about cooking in that sense, where I was prepared to give my whole life away for it. And so then that's what's, you know, I did go and be an apprentice. I was an apprentice on a very small island of Badara.
Where's
so that? That is in north Queensland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that was an interesting experience. It was a really small island.
Wow.
I ended up being there for 6 months, but it definitely wasn't my cup of tea.
But you've always would you say you've always had a love for cooking and doing things in the kitchen? Is that?
Oh. I couldn't say that. But I reckon I'm actually not a bad cook. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, you are.
I think that that's actually come more from my mother, but definitely not from my passion, because I think that you need to be a little bit more passionate about cooking. But definitely I worked in some pubs and. I worked in this 5-star resort, and either way, you still had to work 16 hours a day. And
a table always needs to be wiped.
So then, I stepped out of that and went back into the bar. I loved the bar. I loved the fast pace of the bar. And then I came home, which is after travel. So I'm overseas. So from Brisbane, I went over to the UK. And travelled some there and worked in pubs and restaurants there. And worked in the pubs and lived in the pubs.
Yeah.
So you live above the bars there. So I did that for 3 years and then met my husband. So I met my husband in a line. We were both going to Spain.
Yeah.
And I was trying to go back to Spain. I'd been there year before and I really loved Spain. And so as soon as summer hit again, I was off to go to Spain. And we were both in that visa line, we crossed paths on the first day, but we didn't really connect as such, and then we had to come back because the line got shut off, and so we came back the second day, and that's when we ended up being next door to each other in the line, and he was going off to Puerto Banos, which I was going to the south of Spain as well, Marbella, and he was going to work on yachts, and... we both got into the line, and because the year before I'd worked in bars, I didn't want to work in bars this next time round.
Yeah.
And so I was going for a visa. I didn't get my visa. But that's okay. I've still got to go.
Yeah.
But Brendan, he was going for his 6-month visa to work on yachts over there.
And where's he from?
He's from South Africa.
Oh, wow. So you're both from different parts of the world, and you met in Spain in a line.
Yeah, totally.
That's really cool, eh?
We both ended up being in Puerto Banos, and we met up eventually after I'd gone over and done some travel in Morocco. Really loved that. Then came back, met him, and happily ever after, really, to be honest, in Spain. But that's where I started my massage journey.
Ah.
So instead of getting my visa and working in bars, is that I went and decided that, I guess I knew that they massaged in Thailand on the beaches, that I would go to Spain and massage on the beach in Spain.
That was so cool.
It was amazing. Yeah. There was no one else doing it. So I would definitely love to go back and see whether I started something, because there was no one doing that at the time.
Yeah.
And it was really incredible. I really loved it. And just knocking on doors every morning, I guess every day. And once someone kind of put their hand up, then it would start a bit of a chain reaction. And I'd probably do, I don't know, 8 to 10 a day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. And was there a challenge with the English language, or were you just like, I can give you a massage?
I did obviously speak a little bit, little bit of Spanish.
Yeah.
And so I would use that. But a lot of, particularly when I started off, you know, it was the start of the season, so there were lots of, anyway, they were all from a lot of different places around the world. And so I guess you get by, you work with what you've got.
Yeah.
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 And I only really needed to understand a few keywords, really.
Yeah.
And then,
everyone loves a Kiwi, eh?
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So even the two people that started me off in massage, yeah, I'm still connected to them on Facebook.
Wow.
So that's really beautiful. Two Italians, a couple.
Yeah.
That, yeah, would have been like almost on their honeymoon back then, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's 24 years ago. So that's, and I wasn't, yeah. I just knew a friend of mine had introduced me to massage, and so I knew that I had a gift in it, actually. I'm going to be straight up with that. And,
yeah, you have.
So then I went and did it on the beach, yeah, and that's where I started.
So that's an amazing start. What an amazing start. Like, truly. So this, you knew that you were good at it, and you knew it was something that you could do and people were receptive to it. When did this start looking like what you do now? And when did you think, this might be something I can do? When did that happen?
So it was definitely then at that point.
Aww.
But then we came back to Australia. That's where I studied. So I studied in massage therapy there in Australia. So Brendan and I both made it back to Australia before we came back to New Zealand. But then I got hapu with Shaden, and so then we ended up coming home, and yeah, I guess I had this qualification. And so then I moved, you know, from Featherston, I opened my clinic. So that was in 2008, and that was when I first opened up down in Featherston, yeah, on the main street.
And was that straight into Rongoa?
No. So I spent, I only have been doing Rumi Rumi and Miri Miri for 5 years, really, and yeah, so whatever that is, 17 years,
yeah.
12 years, massage therapy. I would say that I've been doing this mahi for 20 years, as in terms of the body work, but through the lens of te ao Māori for 5 years. But not to say that I wasn't doing it before that. I just hadn't actually connected to the fact that I was already doing
So this is what I really want to know. So you're already doing it. How did it turn into this beautiful thing that you do now?
So I think that 20 years of connection with people and their bodies, so I have a really good relationship with the body. And I think that I've always worked, I guess, to be real, the way that I entered into this work was through music, and so the way that I move through the body is quite rhythmical, and I'm very much connected to the flow and energy of the body, and so that's, I kind of already had my own unique way of moving through the body anyway, and then I was looking to do something different in terms of just supporting people and with their hauora, probably to be able to support them in a deeper way,
yeah,
to support them in their healing journey.
Yeah.
And so I was looking for something then, and I was looking for something in Te Ao Māori, but it's interesting that at that point I couldn't find it, though it was there, but it definitely wasn't what it is today. Mm. And then I ended up considering going to Thailand, which, wow, I still love, you know, like the idea of, because I really resonate towards that body work.
Yeah.
I guess the deep work, the stretching, you know, energy flow.
Yeah.
And so I was about to go to Thailand. My whānau, as they do, supported me with that idea. And that would have been for a 3 month journey in traditional Thai massage. But I ended up going to a 2 day wānanga with Mana Ora, which they were in Kapiti Coast. And it was only a 2 day wānanga.
Yeah.
And it really changed me as a practitioner, that, wow, wānanga. I'm going to be honest, not necessarily because of the wānanga itself, but I guess the higher wānanga than that. So yes, the wānanga was an opening, and I so appreciate and acknowledge Manawa Ora and Jolie Davis for that opportunity to step through that door. And I know that there's been many opportunity for many people to be able to walk into their purpose through that door. But really it was just... on a higher plane. I kind of say that our tupuna were awaiting there. You know, well, that's what I felt anyway. Mm. Tupuna were knocked on my shoulder and was like, sweet, we need you.
Oh.
Because our mahi, you know, he tangata, he tangata, he tangata. Mm. Our people are needing this mahi. They're needing to be awakened and be opened up to, a point of view that has... probably been lost, has been hidden within them. And so, this mahi, as it happened for me, it was really a remembering of who I was. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And so after that wānanga, I stepped into the space, back into my massage room, and everything had changed.
Changed how so, like...
Just the energy in the room. Yeah, the energy in the room had changed, and people were responding differently. And, and it was really a wānanga in itself, because there was no follow-up wānanga after that. So really this door had been opened and I was thrown inside it to work it out.
Yeah.
Really.
And you've worked it out.
And I worked it out. And it's been challenging because... I guess it challenged my belief systems about myself, because I definitely was challenged by that at the start. But I also, so challenged by that, absolutely, but also on the other hand, stood my ground in it, knew exactly what I was there for, who I was, that I was meant to be there, that I was born to be there, that I was capable of doing the work. And it challenged me.
Yeah.
That space, you know, as in, I guess, the wider or the energetic wānanga that showed up for me definitely challenged me to stand in my ground. But, yeah.
Because you are a Māori wahine. Did you find it, that journey of learning even more about what that would mean to you to be... that wahine, that journey in itself, learning more and more about you, tangata whenua, papaduanuku, everything, how is that for you? I really want to know, like, just the opening of it.
Well, I think it's important to recognise, for me anyway, that I, you know, because I'm not sure, well, anyway, I'm going to acknowledge it, that I am Pākehā Māori, and I definitely look, whatever I look, you know, some people would say that I look Pākehā, some people would say that I look Māori, but I definitely have walked in both worlds, for sure, and I whakapapa back up to Taranaki, I walk in both worlds, and my whakapapa displays that as well. And so I mahi for both worlds. I just walk. I'm a bridge.
Yeah.
I definitely am a bridge towards both worlds. And but there has been the challenge. So the challenge is that I've always questioned, you know, as many of us are so comfortable with saying that, is that, you know, like, are we Māori enough, you know, have gone and walked that journey of having to accept myself, I guess, in that space, even though I've kind of always, you know, I've always known that I'm Māori, but, you know, you are threatened by others, you know, or whatever the journey is. And so having to anyway work that out, that part out for myself. That's the part I've had to work out for myself. So when I got thrown this mahi, and yes, stood on my ground, still had to navigate my belief system as in, am I meant to be doing this? Should I be doing this? Am I good enough to be doing this? Am I doing right? So I think number one, it's always been, am I doing right? Because I knew right from the start how powerful this work is and what a responsibility it is. It's a huge responsibility, this work. And, you know, for me, that was the most important thing, is that how do I... You know, and I really believe that that's what makes me the person that I am in terms of my practice, is, you know, how do I uphold the integrity and mana of this mahi, because it is such a, there's such a responsibility in that work.
Absolutely. And I see that. And my introduction to it was, I had to come in as open-minded as I could, because... in a sense, I'm not going to set myself up to fail or go and do something that I put energy into that I don't know what I'm saying. So coming in with eyes open and an open mind was probably the best thing that I ever could have done. And the way that this is, the way I am reacting to this work is just amazing. It really is amazing. And if you truly, truly want it and believe it, of course things are going to work as well. What I want to know is, though, what is rongoā?
So traditionally they would just say that rongoā is a traditional Māori healing system. That our, you know, a wānanga tuku iho that was handed down by our tūpuna. You know, so our tūpuna have used the system for... generations or beyond, in a physical sense, to like break it down if you can. So rongoā Māori is Māori medicine, you know, so rongoā, the atua of rongo, the atua of peace, you know, rongoā being, you know, I guess that's the mirimiri that you get from the rongoā. Yeah, I guess that's where we're all heading, to be in alignment with, you know, Sam said the other day, contentment. You know,
Like contentment,
peace within us, and that's rongoā. So rongoā encompasses many things, you know. So rongoā is the traditional bush medicine, you know, from our Ngāhere. But there's so much more there to it. You know, we have our pūrākau, which is our pūrākau tuku iho, which is our stories that have been handed down, you know, with all of our atua, you know, how they've been passed down to serve us, to protect us, to support us in our journey, knowing that we're not alone. There's waiata, so the waiata, the vibration of in energetic frequency of the waiata, and how that soothes and supports our whānau. And I use that in my space as well, you know, karakia. You know, I don't know if people fully realise the power of te reo Māori and how te reo Māori is a rongoā in itself. So all of the words, the kupu, the sounds, the vibrations of the kupu, they all have codes within them that also unlock parts of ourselves within our DNA. The romi-romi, the physical deep mahi, that's a very deep, and I'm going to say it can be extremely painful.
It's amazing.
And then the miri-miri, so miri-miri encompasses, you know, the rongoā in terms of rongoā rākau, which is the Māori medicine, the miri-miri, sorry, you know, the pūrākau, the kōrero.
Yeah.
It's to me, rungoa or mirimiri is the sun on your face and feeling the mirimiri of that, or this mirimiri on your body, the vibration. To me now it's connecting to the wind and feeling the mirimiri of that in your body. You know, mirimiri can be to feel your tears and your emotion, to mirimiri, that. So to mirimiri your system, or to rumirumi your system, is aiming to agitate, I guess, or stimulate your system in order for you to release and let go of energy, stagnant energy that has been trapped within your system. And that is from generations past. It's in your DNA. It's in your hidden, in your inner waters. It's in your, you know, in your upbringing. It's in your conditioned beliefs. So starting to mirimiri or rumirumi that energy out. And so then again, you start clearing the pathways, you know, throughout your whole system in order for you to move and flow more authentically, more gently, more aligned with your true and authentic self. And so that's the mirimiri, rumirumi, the rungoa, of our ancestors,
And so, it's beautiful. It's just so beautiful. And there was, and it is only starting to, I don't know if it's just only, but it really is starting to happen again. And it's rising up, and it is happening, and it is amazing to see this. And that it is the reason why I was able to get onto it was through ACC people. Like, we didn't think the ACC would do that, and they have. So that is actually amazing. So know that, guys. And what it has done for me is the path that I'm walking on now is just so, so different, because I am connecting with the land, the elements, everything more so. And I'm not, I just find that I'm more thoughtful about things. My partner may not agree with this right now. I know he's watching, but I do feel like I'm, when something happens, something triggers me, the old hippocampus in the brain or something, and the trauma, I'm able to talk myself down from it now, and I'm able to remind myself that, you know, it's not my fault. And that's really, really good. I don't know why I whispered that, but I did. And that's what I'm getting through this as well, as well as other things with help with other ailments that I have, like my headaches and that, which is just, we're working on this, and I'm loving where it's going. So okay, so I'm just blown away by this conversation. I don't usually get like this. So this is brilliant. With what the work you were doing and the wānangas, which are absolutely amazing, being part of that and getting to connect with beautiful women, so good. How was that for you? I'm not too sure if I'm asking the question right, but for you to, not just with the wānangas, to see the changes in people through the work that you do and showing them what it works, how does that make you feel?
I love it. I love my mahi. Like I said in my kōrero last night, you know, like to sit and hold space for somebody. Like, you know, I feel that deeply, you know, like that's, such a beautiful space to create for someone, to be able to, first of all, come in. They, you know, I always, you know, even as a massage therapist, I used to think that, you know, like these people would come off the street, completely do not know me, and peel off their layers for me. And then within that, you start to build whanaunga, you know, whanaungatanga, you know, so you start building this relationship just through touch, and how that connection, even just through touch, is so powerful. And so, yeah, I guess the mirimiri and rumirumi or mirimiri or ACC kia ora has offered this opportunity for more people to be able to access rungoa Māori, which is powerful, because literally in the 5 years that I've been doing it, it has really just revitalised, along with te ao Māori, you know, like I've really seen everything just grow.
So it should.
Regenerate.
Yes.
Or re-indigenise, you know, them, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever we're needing to do to grow and become the people that we are here. So I'm really, I do acknowledge ACC for opening their doors for people to be able to access this mahi, because it's an incredibly powerful tool. And though, a lot of our people are coming in through injury, you know, there is so much more than just injury. I was thinking about it in terms of heal the wairua first. It's quite often we'll get to the actual injury, the physical element, not until the end. And that's even if we have to get to the physical element, actually.
Yeah.
You know? So, there's so many tools in the kete in terms of rongoā Māori. And so it's just about drawing in on what our people need at the time.
Absolutely.
So, I'm not sure if I answered your question.
No, you did. You actually did. You have answered that. And it's really cool because, I'll have conversations with people about this and they'll go, or they'll mention that they're doing some rongoā, and I'm like, it's a really good feeling knowing that other people are doing it as well.
Well, people are now searching for it because this is a really incredible, powerful pathway to return home. So that's the kaupapa that I talk into for myself, is to supporting people to return back to the whenua, and so that whenua sits within you and it sits without you, like our own, the lands itself. So many of us are, all of us pretty much, I would say, unless you've actually walked the land and been in the land, away from everything else, a lot of us have lost our connection, our sense of belonging to the land. And so coming back to the whenua, but also coming back to ourselves, because we've lost our connection with ourselves as well. Even this beautiful woman today, actually, that I mahi with, and she's in her 70s, and her saying to me, you know what, I've actually started listening to I think I've started listening to my body. If you start tuning in to your body, listening to what it needs, and trusting in that, that's your empowerment. And we talked about that, not necessarily with that client, but, in terms of empowerment, empowering yourself, but also, anyway, we talked about it, that empowerment in terms of being grounded in who you are.
Yeah.
And that's what this mahi also helps you to, supports you to do, obviously different people and different experiences, depending on what you said, like opening up, the more opened you are to receive this work, the more powerful it can be.
And so
something that also came up in that kōrero is that expect the unexpected. So if you come in with, an openness to receive, and that can take time because you have to build that trust first and that relationship, but the more you learn to trust, the more you understand what's kind of going to happen in a sense, and so then you're able to let yourself open
and
the power the power in that is enormous.
That's amazing.
So there's a lot of layers to that as well,
absolutely.
You can be thinking that your arms wide open and you're still protected, there can be a lot of mamai to get through before a lot of shields, a lot of barriers, a lot of armor, to get through sometimes, and some of that armor or shields you don't even know that you have up.
I know this personally, and it's such a beautiful journey removing that armor and surprising yourself and seeing who you actually are is such a beautiful thing. And you actually start to look at yourself differently as well, and your body and the way you move. I love moving
You change your henimaro, your mind, because that's the thing that holds us in prison, to be honest, we change our henimaro, clear that out, start weeding out the self-sabotaging thoughts, all those belief systems that have been planted in that societal, that's through our whānau, that's ourselves, spending up on ourselves. So start clearing that all out.
Breathe.
Become a free thinker.
Yes. Hey. And we love that. We absolutely love that.
Trusting in your own inner guidance.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Intuition.
Aye.
Leah will love me saying that. Yeah. Intuition.
Clearing.
Yeah.
Probably is more,
And I'm listening to mine. Yeah.
Your gut.
Yes.
Yeah, and your connection with source, with your manawa, like trusting there. I mean, that's probably, it's all challenging. To, you know, anyway, it's just a journey, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Of self-discovery.
Yeah.
That's the best trusting journey. In yourself, trusting in your po, because I'm a believer in that. Know who your po are, your support crew, you know, like, and start looking for them. And that support crew can be, you know, your counsellor, your kaimiri-miri, the nahiri, you know, your partner, your children, whoever, your friend, the ocean, tangaroa, you know, even just, papa connection to papatua nuku.
Yeah.
You know, find your po, find what works for you, because, you know, the tangaroa is not going to serve everybody, you know, but if that's your thing, then go.
And it doesn't care where you came from. It just wants you to heal.
There's no judgment at all from Te Taiao, and I think that's been part of my journey, is connecting to Te Taiao, because... it holds no. It doesn't hold any grudge anyway.
No.
It really wants. Well, at the end of the day, you know, Papatua Nuku, you know, she wants us to connect back to the whenua.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, you know.
It's a hard life.
It will remain.
Yeah.
We will perish. There is a.
You shall not pass.
There is a whakatauki on that, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
In all seriousness. Nothing changes if nothing changes.
No.
No, and healing. It's a seriously hard journey, but it is so, so beautiful.
It's definitely a challenging journey. Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to face a lot of things, you know. And I found it really interesting that I love the whakaaro, and there may be some people out there as well that don't even know what healing is, you know. Like, people were like, Rian, you said to me, even one of my good friend said to me, you know, 2 years down the track, 2 years ago you said that I needed to do some healing. And I had no idea what you're even talking about. And but, you know, eventually she kind of got to that point where she started to like understand some of my points of view that was coming through. So
You
get there when you get there, you understand, you know when you know.
It's never going to completely take away your trauma or your hurt, but it definitely minimises it and makes life a hell of a lot more beautiful and easy to live. Yeah. I love that I actually said that, you know, because,
amazing.
Yeah. Now, finally, gosh, this has been beautiful. I sort of think we have touched on it, and I'm not a huge supporter of future jumping and stuff like that, and I do believe in live for the day, because here and now is where we are right now. Where would you don't have to answer it, but where would you like to see the future of Rongoa in Aotearoa? In the world?
I just think it's already happening, you know, like more and more people are connecting back to, my first word is the truth.
Yeah.
The truth, whatever that looks like for them, you know, so starting to connect back to themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and trusting themselves and looking for rongoa, you know, a lot more people, you know, even I think I heard a 12-year-old or even probably younger, actually, talking about healing, you know, or being authentic. Actually, he used the word authentic.
Wow.
Or even using those words, you know, like even this language that we're using, and I guess opening up these spaces, you know, especially for our tāne, our wahine, you know, there's so many spaces for us to be able to go back and start to change these patterns and behaviours, belief systems that we've created over lifetimes. And so things are moving and things are changing. And rongoa Māori, especially in New Zealand, I mean, they've actually been practising even rumi rumi miri miri outside of New Zealand for longer than
that. Did not know that.
Because, Papa Hoepa is the tohunga that revitalised miri miri rumi rumi in terms of the wānanga that I have walked in. And they were travelling to America, Germany, you know, outside Europe for years before, like 20 years probably before it got revitalised back in New Zealand.
Wow.
And so New Zealanders were not ready for this mahi at that point.
Yeah.
And so to see, you know, like even since I've been in here, which is five years, six years,
yeah.
you know, it's grown so much, and people are just, you know, just the language that people are speaking now in terms of their healing journey and the vulnerability that people are, you know, like they're allowing themselves to be vulnerable, to be seen. So, yeah, in terms of how I perceive it to be, is that I just think it will continue to grow, and people are just starting to look for these practices.
Yeah.
And I just, I can't, yeah, like I know that there's a lot going on in this aisle at the moment, but I cannot help to see what is happening in our in our space, you know, in Aotearoa. You know, like despite all of this going on, it's almost like a rumi-rumi.
Yeah.
It's like a rumi-rumi, like it's agitating,
yeah.
stimulating everybody to change.
Yeah.
To grow.
Yeah.
To step up, to itu, to stand up, you know, like even I've been saying for years, because I'm not political, because I don't like to, I don't like to get caught up. So be aware of your energy and how it's, how that, you know, like I guess social media or politics or however that's serving you and what it's, you know, creating within you. So you have to be really careful around that. But, you know, I can't help but say right now in terms of the political stage or whatever it is, let's call it a stage.
Stage, yeah.
You can't help but actually itu, stand up. You actually have to. So this time is a huge call for action.
Yeah.
You know, it's a huge call for standing up for what is important, which is he tangata, he tangata, he tangata. The people are the people, you know. Like if we do not stand up, which we're going to.
Yes, I know.
We're doing it.
Yes.
Though these nangara, these bugs, are getting irritated, you know, by people standing up and powering themselves, you know. So that's probably happening all over the world.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I just love that we have who we are, you know, like our whakapapa behind us, you know, like hana, you know, like just, yeah, we've got our tūpuna standing here and, you know, I'm a believer that everything that, you know, has happened, it, everything was meant to happen the way it was because it happened that way. But now is our time. Now is our time to itu, stand up and fight for our mokopuna, because that is really what it's about.
Absolutely.
Is, empowering ourselves, doing our healing, our growth, so we can cleanse our internal waters, our whakapapa, you know, for our future generations.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, we've been a little bit like, you know, closed off or from ourselves, from the whenua, you know, but now is the time. So I don't feel like I'm interested, you know, I don't get caught up in terms of the raru, even though,
you feel it, you feel it
within me, get up and do something about it, you know.
Like, absolutely.
I feel like that with any of it that's out there. It's like if you can't actually do anything about it, then I have to actually step away from it. But if I've got a place or, you know, that I'm a part of this kaupapa, then I will stand up and I will speak out for it, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that's whether it's in my own, you know, in my own rohe in terms of what I do or on a greater, you know, like he tangata.
Absolutely.
What is most important, and I think, choose your kaupapa. What are you here to stand for?
Oh, that is beautiful. This has been beautiful.
It has been beautiful.
Yeah.
So thank you, Camille.
I love that I can do this.
Yeah, it's been beautiful. So, kia ora.
Oh, getting to know you more as well. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Everyone, you've been sitting here, you've been listening with me to Rianne talking about her journey through life, part of her journey through life, and where she is now with her rongoa practice. Two-hand traditional Māori healing in Featherston. Thank you so much. We're going to go now, guys.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, anyone that was out there. And, beautiful.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that kōrero.
Thank you. Everyone, you've been listening to Camille here of my show, Everyday People on 92.7 Arrow FM, your community station's favourite community station. Get up here and get a show going. I'll see you guys tomorrow morning when I'm interviewing Emma, the Recovery Queen. Thanks for joining us. Kia ora.